Well, good morning, church fam. It's a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the joy of serving alongside our kids and our family ministries. And I've recently stepped into this role. And I just want to say, right off the bat, the kids ministry has been incredibly well led and cared for. Even in a season without a director, so many of you have served faithfully, and our kids have been poured into in a really meaningful way. And I'd just like to give a quick thank you to Nicole, Tracy, and Lucas for the way that you've stepped up during this season. Just this past week, we had our Bethel Kids Carnival, and at the same time, teams are already forming for VBS in June. And when you step back and see everything, it's really, really neat. It's incredible. There's a lot of people who are genuinely wanting to see kids know and follow Jesus. And I'm also really excited, not just for what God has in store for this next season of Bethel, but I'm excited for this morning. And I'm excited to open up God's word with you as we're going into Psalm chapter 103. This is one of those chapters where keep this psalm close to your heart. Keep it near. I know several people that have walked through a lot of life having this psalm impact them in many different seasons. In fact, earlier this week, I heard a story that really emphasized why this psalm is so special. Our Bethel Kids staff, we're reading through a book right now, and the author shared a story from his time in seminary. And I'd just like to share that story with you. He was taking a preaching course through his seminary, and this was Trinity Evangelical Seminary, and it was under the teaching of Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And Dr. Lutzer had been a longtime pastor at Moody Church and a really respected preacher. And one day, instead of holding class like normal, he was going on a field trip. He told the kids, the students to stand up, put their notebooks away, and follow him out through the hallway, outside, and eventually to a cemetery. They walked up to a grave, and they just stood there for a moment, not really sure what was going to happen next or what was going on. And then without warning, Dr. Lutzer started shouting, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!" No one knew what to do. But then Dr. Lutzer turns around and stares at his class, and he says, "That is the job of a preacher. Every week we stand before people who are spiritually asleep and we call out, 'Wake up!'" That's powerful, right? But what struck me this week is that we don't just see that kind of idea in this story, but we see it right here in Scripture. And so at this time, I encourage you, go ahead and turn to chapter 103 in the book of Psalms. And what we see here is that David, before he calls anyone else to wake up, he starts with himself. And one thing that stands out right away in this is that we're not told exactly what situation David was in when he wrote this. And then that's actually a helpful thing, because what David is doing here isn't reacting to a specific moment that we know of. And so why I love that is no matter where your heart was at when you were coming into this place this morning, whether you, again, are on the highest of highs or you've been struggling, maybe this has been a really difficult season, or maybe this has been incredible. Whatever the case, we can look at this psalm and we can connect to it, because it wasn't connected to a specific moment. Instead, he's intentionally speaking to his soul. He's reminding himself who God is and what God has done. Not because everything around him was perfect, but because he knew his soul needed it. And what that shows us is this, is that our hearts, they don't naturally stay fixed on what is true about God. In fact, left on their own, our thoughts, they drift, our desires shift, and our attention gets pulled into 100 different directions. I remember being at my grandma's funeral when I was a kid, and I remember walking out of the service and feeling that heavy weight on my heart, and then looking up and seeing the sun and blue skies. And I can remember thinking in that moment, somewhere, someone is having the best day of their life. It's wild, right? Same world, completely different experiences. And what I've come to see is this, no matter where you're at today, whether life feels heavy or something, or just everything is feeling bright and sunny, your heart still needs to be reminded of what is true about God. And so that's exactly what we see here in chapter 103. It's showing us what it looks like to preach what is true about God to our own souls. And so before we even jump in then, let's ask the question of, well, what is a soul? What is a soul? You got to ask that first, right? Because when the Bible talks about the soul here, it's not talking about a separate spiritual ghost kind of part of you. It's talking about the center of who you are. The Hebrew words here used in Psalm 103, it literally means your whole self, your inner life, everything about you. Your thoughts, your desires, your will. It's the same word used in the Shema. And so when David says in verse 1, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," he's not talking about a part of himself. He's addressing everything he is. And in a sense, he's preaching to his soul saying, "Wake up." Which raises the question, what does it mean to preach to your soul? All right, so when you say wake up, what comes next, right? It's like sometimes I'll be sleeping at night and one of my kids comes in. It's usually right at that great time of 3 a.m., right? And they come in and they're like, "Hey, dad, dad, dad." And then you kind of roll over. "Yeah, what's up, buddy?" "I don't know. I just want to say hi." It's like, and so if we're calling our soul to wake up, what are we going to say to it? It's a good question. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning. How do we preach to our souls? And so first, and this might sound obvious, you start by speaking. Listen to how David starts. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You hear what he's doing here? I think it's important that we notice how he's not describing how he feels. He's telling himself what to do. You know what I mean? Like David, he didn't just wake up, roll out of bed, and say, "Today I feel like praising God." Nope. There was intentionality, and he was very clear. "Wake up, soul. I need you to praise the Lord." And that matters because we tend to think of worship as something that just kind of happens. Like if the moment is right, if I enjoy the song, if I'm feeling it, then I'll respond. But Psalm 103 shows us something really different. You don't drift into worship. In fact, if you're not careful, you're going to drift far from it. And so I think that's why David starts here. He doesn't wait for his soul to move. He leads it, which I think is rare for most of us. Because most of us, we don't just talk to our souls like this. Instead, we usually just listen. We wake up in the morning and whatever we feel, whatever we're thinking, we just go with it. It made me think of this. For the last few months, I've been meeting a buddy from Bethel at 5 a.m. a couple days a week to work out. And I tell you, over the last 2 months, there has been exactly one morning where I woke up excited to go. Every other morning, I just wanted to stay in bed. "You're tired. You can skip to the day. Just tell them your alarm didn't go off. It's not that important." But in those moments, I have a choice. So do I just listen to that? Or do I speak back to it? And that's exactly what David is doing here. He's not just listening to his soul, he's leading it. Which means if we're going to do the same thing, we have to ask a really important question. What do we actually say to our souls? And I think there's a few things that we can say. And so the first is that we remind ourselves what God has done. Listen to what David is reminding himself in chapter 103, verse 3 through 5. David says that the Lord forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you hear what he's doing? Like, I love this because he's not just praising the Lord. He's giving his soul reasons. He's reminding himself, David, God has forgiven you. David, God has redeemed you. David, God has been compassionate towards you. He's satisfied you. He's renewed you. David, remember, God took care of you last week. Like, isn't that great? He's taking what's true, and then he's really pressing it down into his soul. It's kind of like repeating a phone number when you don't want to forget it. You know what I'm saying? You just keep repeating the number over and over in your head. And honestly, I think that's kind of why we probably remember our childhood phone numbers better than we remember our phone numbers today, is because back then, you just had to say it over and over again until it was kind of impressed in you. Because you know that if you don't, you're going to blank. And so the same is true spiritually. If you don't intentionally remind yourself what God has done, you'll probably forget it. And when you forget, your view of God begins to shrink. You know, over the last 15 years, I've had the chance to work with a lot of college students, and now I'm getting the chance to really invest in kids here at Bethel. And as I've been doing this, I've seen this play out. Maybe this concept would connect with you. Students who grew up around the right things, but somewhere along the way, it didn't hold. And part of that may be because they were often taught what to believe, but not always led to understand why. So it'd be like Psalm 103 ending after the first couple of verses. David telling his soul to praise, but never giving reasons why God is worthy of that praise. But no, not here, not in Psalm 103. David lists a ton of reasons why God is worthy. And those reasons are what begin to then anchor his soul in who God is. And so now David shifts from what God has done to really who God is. Psalm 103, verse 8, it says this: "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." And I love what's going on here. And it's that he's not just listing these random things, but rather he's tracing a pattern of God's character. God is just, pushing that down into his remembrance. God reveals himself. God is compassionate. God is gracious. God loves. This is who God has always been. In fact, he says that God made known his ways to Moses, meaning that this isn't new. Generation after generation, the same God David was talking about is the same God we get to know today. And when your soul sees that, it starts to really settle in and go deep because you realize God isn't changing on you. Like, let's be real. Our circumstances change. Our emotions change. The people around us might change. But God never will, because everything God does flows out of who he is. And when you get those two things in the right order, man, that changes how we see things. The character of God in Psalm 103 is the same character we see in Jesus. I want to read what David writes next in verses 10 through 12. He says, "God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. So as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." This passage is pointing us forward to the gospel, because this is the kind of God who would send his son. The God who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but instead deals with our sins so that we can be forgiven. Like, do you hear the gospel of Jesus in that? This is incredible. For real, we're honored to be reading Psalm 103 in light of Jesus. We get the gift of so much more clarity than the original readers here. And when you see it, you just don't admire God. You don't just study God, but you begin to rest in how he relates to you. If you're following along in the handout, the fourth point for how to preach to your soul is rest in God's compassion. I want to keep reading here from Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." And so there's a shift here. After David awakes his soul and reminds it about who God is and what God has done, He now adjusts the lens to focus on how God sees him. How does God see David? God sees him like a child, with weaknesses and with limits. And yet God, as Father, responds to his child with compassion. So it paints this picture of us as children being all over the place and in need of a calming parent. And I think this is important to say because not every moment of life feels like an uplifting psalm, right? Like, man, we are all over the place. Some moments, we feel more like Psalm 88. During our Bible recap reading this past week, I couldn't help but feel the weight of the highs and the lows that David went through. In Psalm 88, he feels so close to death that he wonders if he'll ever experience God's love again. Have you had a season like that? Like, man, where it just feels like you are in the pit of despair. Or maybe you've had a season where it just feels like, man, I'm on cloud nine. This is going so well. My guess is we've experienced both. Like this is the same David in Psalm 88 that other passages talk about him being so optimistic and joyful. And so again, I appreciate that because honestly, I think that contrast is probably like most of us. Happy one moment and broken in the next. And yet going back to what David is speaking to his soul in Psalm 103, this is what he says. God knows you and hasn't wavered in his compassion for you. As a father, I am so amazed at God's patience here. He longs for our honesty. Sometimes we tell our soul to bless the Lord, and sometimes we're just holding on in the dark, fighting to pray. But either way, God longs as our Heavenly Father to be near. He invites you to rest in his compassion. And so, yeah, this makes me think about my kids, right? Because they can go from 0 to 100 really fast, right? Like anyone who deals with kids knows what I'm talking about. You pick them up from the bus stop and they're on cloud nine. And then by the time they get home and you tell them it's ready for bed or they got to pick up their sock or maybe they got to eat some broccoli. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what just happened? You go from 0 to 100. They're all over the place. But here's what I've been learning. In those moments, the goal isn't to just shut it down, but it's to step in and to help them settle. Because kids don't know how to regulate everything they feel yet. And so when they get overwhelmed, they're not trying to be dramatic, they're just being a child. And there's actually a lot of research that goes on into this, that kids don't calm down because they're corrected. They calm down when they feel understood. But as a parent, as a human parent, man, that's really hard sometimes, isn't it? Because we just want it to stop. Like we love them. We want what's best for them. But we're also human, and sometimes the complaining and whining just needs to end. But now our Father in heaven, wow, now his compassion is perfect. God doesn't look at you and say, why are you like this? Because he remembers that you are dust, and he knows how you were formed. Which means he's not surprised by your weaknesses. He's not frustrated by your limits. Instead, better than any earthly father, he steps toward you and meets you with compassion. And then it's in that moment when he meets you that he lifts your eyes up beyond it. It's the fifth point here about how to preach to your soul, and that's to recognize what lasts. I want you to listen to what David says in verses 15 through 18. He says, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remembers to obey. There's a contrast here. There's like two things being shown side by side, what fades and what lasts. And the text is telling us that our lives are like grass. Here one moment, gone the next. But the Lord's love is everlasting, which means we need to be really careful what we build our lives on. I remember a pastor one time putting it this way, a mentor of mine. He said, when a good thing becomes a God thing, that's a bad thing. Because a lot of those things we build our lives around, they're not bad, they're good. They're good things, but they don't last. That's why David is lifting his eyes and reminding his soul to build on what does. And when your eyes are fixed on what lasts, it doesn't make the other things in life smaller. No, actually what it does is it lets you enjoy them the way they were intended. And this is where David ends the psalm. After all that time preaching to his soul, reminding himself what God has done, anchoring himself in who God is, resting in God's compassion, and recognizing what lasts, it all leads here to this moment where he just can't stay quiet anymore. It's like he's been filling so much goodness into his soul that all of a sudden it's like shaking up a bottle of soda. And what happens is it just has to come out. And that's what happens here. It just has to come out. He joins in. Psalm 103, 19 through 22. This is what it says. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Think for a second about what God has done. Like, think for a second, what has God done? Remember his promises. See his goodness. And then in that moment, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Everybody, like, can y'all just say it with me? Say, praise the Lord. Okay, and now sometimes it's cheesy when we say do it again, but I want you to do it again, okay? Say it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. From verse 1 at the beginning of this psalm to right now, it started with one voice. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Wake up. And then it ends with everything. All his works everywhere. Praise the Lord. All creation, join in. And I think that matters here. Because we so often want to start out there. We want to fix someone else's faith. Right? We want to shape someone else's life. Or maybe the world. But this is where it starts. It starts with your soul. Before David got out there, he started with, praise the Lord, O my soul. With your soul, preach what's true about God. First to yourself, making sure you haven't forgotten who he is, because when that's right, everything else will flow from it. There was a pastor many years ago, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and in his book, Spiritual Depression, he was reflecting on the Psalms when he said this. He said, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? And just think about that. We just let our thoughts and emotions lead us in any direction. But my hope for us all this morning is that we begin to see that we don't just listen to our soul, we speak to it. We remind it what's true. And when you do that, your soul doesn't stay quiet. It responds. Psalm 35, verse 9, it says, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. Psalm 16, verse 9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. And then in the New Testament, listen to this. When Mary sees what God is doing through Jesus, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Like, it's amazing. The same movement we're reading in Psalm 103 is happening there. Because when a soul sees clearly, it can't help but respond with joy. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15. He says, He's taking his disciples out and he's talking to them and he's talking about staying connected like a branch to a vine. And then he says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So maybe you've heard that verse before, but in light of what we're talking about here in Psalm 103, what stuck out to me this week is that joy is not something we manufacture. Instead, it's something that flows. It's a gift from the Lord. And when you're connected to Him, when you're remembering what's true about Him, then the joy of the Lord begins to overflow within you. I mean, think about it. How often, just our culture, it's like we try to manufacture joy in so many things for that moment of happiness. But what we see when we look at Scripture is that you cannot manufacture long-lasting joy. It comes from the Lord. And so with that truth, as you're reminding yourself of that, allow it to begin to overflow within you. Again, going back to what Jesus says to His disciples, it's like a branch connected to a vine. The branch doesn't force fruit. It just stays connected. And when it does, life flows and joy flows. And so wrapping up here now, I hope you can see Psalm 103 more clearly. Speak truth to your soul. Don't just wait until you feel something. Start by speaking. Remind yourself what God has done through Jesus Christ. Anchor yourself in the saving power of Jesus. Rest in His compassion. And then join in the celebration. Don't just simply stop at rest, but be a part of the party. Join in the celebration. I'd love to finish with a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "We delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but it completes the enjoyment." That's it. A filled soul cannot stay quiet. And that's why this matters so much. Today's big idea is this. When we forget who God is, our view of Him shrinks. But intentional praise brings it back into focus. And so this week, preach what is true about God to your soul. Maybe that starts by simply reading Psalm 103 out loud this week, or maybe with your family. Whatever the case, don't leave here unchanged by the gospel. Through Jesus, His life, death, and resurrection, your sins are forgiven. Your life is restored. Your soul can be made new. And that's why you preach about it. And when you do, don't be surprised when it begins to respond. Your soul is listening. Preach to it. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You that You're not distant and that You've been making Yourself known to us consistently. Allow us to recognize it. God, with everything we walk through in life, it seems so easy to drift. My God, we forget. We get pulled in 100 different directions. And so thank You for Your word that brings us back to what's true. Thank You that You are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God, You are present this morning. I pray that we can be intentional with our souls, that we can speak truth, that we can flex those spiritual disciplines that bring about an everlasting joy. Jesus, we thank You because You made a way when there was no way. Our sins are forgiven and our lives are redeemed. Help us this week, God, to faithfully speak truth to our souls. Lift our eyes to You. We love You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.